Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Tough studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. The rotation of all of us continues. Alan, Eddie off today. We've got Fleegs and Raskolnik in there. Jerry back today. And of course, Boomer is back after an exhausting week of Stugatz and headlines and everything that was going on. By Friday, I was just completely shot driving home. I went right to the beach. I actually posted something on Instagram. I said I've just pushed Stugatz out to sea, both mentally and physically. So we've got Boomer back. We got a trade deadline tomorrow. We got both the Yankees and the Mets getting involved. And we loved Jazz Chisholm Jr. before he was a Yankee, and now we got him here. So let's see how many times we can play those drops. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. And man, a lot of things happened last week, and I don't know what the hell Stugatz was doing, trying to set the whole place on fire, I guess. And I guess he got his point across. And if he wants to work for 50K, he can come work here anytime he wants. You know, I mean, I don't know what he's making down there in Miami, but yeah. There's really no reason for him to leave, believe me. I would also say that it's great to have actually two baseball teams that are going for it. And that's what I feel like. And I felt like last week there were some major moments for the Mets. I feel like now all of a sudden there have been some major moments for the Yankees over the weekend up in Boston. The Mets, not so much. They fell flat against a team that came in losing five in a row, I believe it was. The Braves were on a losing streak. They end up losing the first game and they end up winning the next three, which was the Mets just aren't there yet, you know. And whether it be pitching or in this case, it seems to me, it's like the bats went cold all of a sudden in one of the most important homestands of the season, which is really unfortunate. But on the other side of all of this, and with the trade deadline looming, both teams and a lot of teams in the in Major League Baseball are all now involved. I mean, I couldn't believe when you look at the list of players that have been traded, the amount of players that have been traded. Everybody thought this was going to be a dud of a trade deadline. It has been anything but that. It's been player after player after player, and I think the Mets are being smart. I think David Stearns is being really smart. And I also think that Brian Cashman is all in at this point. I think Joel Sherman writes a really good column this morning. I usually don't talk about those things, but he does make a very good point as to where the Yankees are and what they're trying to do. And I remember, I think you said it right at the beginning of the season when they made that, when the trade for Juan Soto was announced. You said it. This is an all-in year for them. No matter what the situation is, this was going to be an all-in year. That's an all-in move. And I think that that all-in move is being, again, you know, Joel Sherman's talking about it in his column, just how difficult it is now for Brian Cashman to let go some prospects to bring in older players that, you know, hopefully, you know, are going to play to the back of their baseball card and are going to fit into where they feel like they have weaknesses. And, of course, everybody needs bullpen help. Everybody needs a starting pitcher here or there. And this is not a fire sale by any mean by the selling teams.
No, it's not. And I like the way that David Stearns, knowing that everybody needs bullpen help, has been able to pull off a couple of moves that I think are really going to help them in the bullpen. And one was a couple of weeks ago with Maton. So he continues to identify those players and bring in Winker is something that's very, very interesting and really helps them from a depth standpoint and his history with the fans. But, you know, this Chisholm move is something that I don't believe they would have done in a year that wasn't an all-in year, because I mean, the Marlins were done with him. Like he is someone that was built on a reputation early on, and then he sort of rode that for a while and has not played great baseball the last couple of years. He was on the cover of MLB The Show and
Chaz Chisholm.
He just sort of has been overrated in a way, and then you hear some of the rumblings about him being like a kind of a wacky clubhouse guy, and then he poured that Gatorade on that female reporter, and it seemed like the Marlins were done with him. So it's like that doesn't feel like a guy that Brian Cash would bring in midseason. But I think the reason why he identified him and brought him in and saw that he was available and made sure he got him is because they needed someone different with an edge to shake things up.
Exactly. And, you know, the interesting thing, I think, from Brian Cashman's standpoint is like, okay, we got Juan Soto and we have Aaron Judge here. Those guys, I mean, he's got to defer to them, doesn't he? I mean, he's got to defer to who they are in the pantheon of MLB stars. And, you know, when you think about the Yankees, they still, in the American League, they are right there. They have 62 wins. Cleveland has 63 wins, and Baltimore has 62 wins. So they are right smack in the middle of it, thanks to, in large part, to a great start to the season. The last 2 months have not been great. We know that. But the last two wins for the Yankees actually have been really good, taken to straight from the Red Sox. So I don't know. They are all in. They have been all in, and there's no reason that they shouldn't be all in. I mean, and this is the thing for us is, like, the Mets – how are they going to be? Are they all in? And, you know, in the middle of the week, hey, they had the number one wild card spot. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they're right there on the cusp of losing that wild card again. You know, this is going to be the Mets season. You know, it's going to be up and down the whole way. And that's why 162 games, you can't make declarative statements when you're 100 games into the season.
Right, exactly. Especially when you've got three wild cards and so many teams that are in it, and it's sort of a balancing act for David Stearns. He wants to have this competitive rebuild. He wants to take advantage of this team playing this well and coming together, and apparently Steve Cohen is all about not letting this season go by the wayside, making sure that they improve and take advantage of this, because baseball is one of those sports that you can come out of nowhere and do things that no one expected you to do. Look at the Arizona Diamondbacks last year, the Colorado Rockies years ago when they went on that crazy run. So the
Texas Rangers.
But, I mean, people thought they were going to be pretty good last year. I mean, they had...
And I mean, they were missing their two of their biggest pitchers in the biggest moments.
Right.
Jacob DeGrom and Scherzer.
And they still did it. And speaking of pitching, and I know we're all over the place here, but, I mean, this Kodai Senga situation, just I mean, that you want to talk about a big blow, because... The Mets, I don't know how many times we're talking about, you know, they get Senga back. He was their best pitcher last year. When he comes back, then all of a sudden your rotation is 10 times better. And he has this really weird rehab stuff that was going on. And he said he felt good, but the injury was fine, but he didn't feel like he had his good stuff. And then he comes back and then has this high-grade calf strain is going to be out for the year. So now David Stearns, you know, on that list of things that he needs to improve, they basically need another starting pitcher now. He's gone.
Yeah, it's a weird deal, man. It is 100% a weird deal. And what when you say Senga, I think Stanton. I'm like, where is Giancarlo Stanton? Like, what is he doing?
Yeah, like, I saw him jogging the other day around the bases.
When is he coming back?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Do you have any idea?
I mean, we do like, this every year.
You know, that would be like getting a power hitter at the trade deadline, because we're almost there.
It should be soon. I don't know what the late
soon.
Is it today?
I remember reading from one of the beat writers that it was today.
Is he going to be in a Yankee uniform today, or is he going to be in a rehab uniform today?
Yeah.
Where is he going? What's going on?
He's returning for the Phillies series. Yep.
Oh, he is. So he's
staying set for Monday return to Yankees lineup. So
okay,
well,
there you go. See, good thing I asked the question.
Yeah. He's doing a heavy day back there today. This is Aaron Boone. I don't know what the hell that means.
A heavy day. Okay.
He's doing a heavy day back there today, so let's get through that and see where we're at. Boone said before the Yankees game at Fenway Park on Friday night.
So he does not need any rehab starts down in the minors.
I mean, he shouldn't, right?
I don't know. You always tell me that when he comes back, it takes him like 6 weeks to get back in shape.
Well, that's, I tell you that because it's the facts.
Yeah, right. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, so now if he is back in that lineup and that lineup is, as they say, lengthened.
Yeah.
They're going to be a bitch if he comes back and he does what he was doing prior to him getting injured. And now I would just say, just don't run. Try not to run.
He was trying not to run all season. He still got hurt.
I don't want to know. It drives me crazy. I swear to God, it drives me crazy. And this is where Aaron Boone really screws up, I think. And I know it's not easy in today's athletic world for a manager or a head coach, whether it be football or hockey or basketball, to sit a player down and say, look, man, this is who we are. Now, you're the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You are the epitome of what professional sports in this country is all about. And, you know, because baseball is so international and there's so much international flavor in the game of baseball, maybe some players don't understand that. But every time they come to the New York Yankees, they basically go, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm in the Yankees. You know, there's Monument Park out there at Yankee Stadium. I got the New York Yankee logo on my chest. I'm proud to wear it. Well, if you're proud to wear it, then play like you're proud to wear it. Now, why do I say all of this?
Why do you say all of this, Boomer?
I say all this because Gleyber Torres drives me nuts as a baseball player. And you know, I'm not a Yankee fan.
I've heard.
How many times have I told you that?
At least once a day for the last 7 years.
So last night, he gets a key hit, knocks in two runs. And what does he do? He gets stuck in some BS rundown where he just stops and they tag him out. And it's like they are celebrating. David Cone and that booth, you know, not David in particular, but that booth is celebrating the fact that he had this big hit, knocked in two runs. And nobody even talked about the stupid play he makes to, you know, to end the inning when he should have been on first base. Just stand there.
Is it
that freaking hard?
No, I think the reason why they're celebrating that is the fact that the Yankee offense in those last 2 days looked alive.
But that's sloppy baseball.
I know, but that's who he is now.
But again, and that's why he drives me crazy. Yeah. That's my point.
Well, he's just another one of those guys they hung on to too long.
So, but why? I don't understand with him in particular, because we've seen him in so many different ways. Like, it looks like he doesn't give a crap. And I know he does. I know he loves playing. I would think that he loves playing second base for the Yankees. I'm sure that he has heard all the criticism. And that's just a little thing last night. And I'm like, why isn't this booth talking about that? Why aren't they just ripping him a new one for being lazy and not being smart and not standing there and extending the inning where, you know, I know they won the game and everybody feels good about it. But that is the epitome of not being what you should be when you are wearing the Yankee uniform. And by the way, if you do get caught in a rundown, can we at least attempt to try to get out of it?
Yeah. Maybe they make a mistake, put a little pressure on them.
So my point is, why can't Aaron Boone, maybe he has, maybe Carlos Mendoza was the guy who did it when he was with Aaron Boone. Sit him down and go, man, dude, you're with the Yankees, man.
Well,
I don't want to shoot down anybody else, but this is not the Rays, it's not the Kansas, well, Royals have history, but I can go down the list, I guess, of other teams, but, you know, have some pride in who you are and what you're wearing across your chest. I had to get that off my chest.
Well, you know, clearly.
It bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, well, this has been the main criticism of Aaron Boone is that he does not do those, at least the perception is that he doesn't do those type of things, that he always has the players back, he's always going to make an excuse for them, and he's never going to sit them down and say that's unacceptable. And we need to do better. So for those Yankee fans that want to see Aaron Boone fired, it's because of that stuff. Like, how could you be the manager of the Yankees and let some of this crap happen?
And I think that little things like that are things that you try to stay away from if you are a coach, if you're, you know, and you watch the Hard Knocks and you watch, you know, all these different coaches give their press conference after their football practices that are now going on. and you all hear about them talking about culture and work and how tough we're going to be. And, you know, they're trying to set the tone for their teams. And then you watch the Yankees, who, you know, have one of the highest payrolls in baseball. And you watch players, you know, not really run it out or get caught in a rundown and not even try to get out of it.
So Chris McMonagle is he's the Yankee defender. He is the Yankee shill. He hosts Yankees Hot Stove and also Yankees pre and post on the overnight. That's basically what he does. He's here to be essentially the Yankee mascot for the radio station. So he did not text either me or you to refute your Gleyber Torres take. He instead texted Mike Fliegelman to refute your Gleyber Torres take. So no matter what the Yankees do, he will always defend them. So let me hear his Gleyber Torres defense.
So Chris said, Torres wanted to make sure the ball was cut on a close play at the plate. The better argument is not scoring from third when the ball goes off the pitcher's ass. He sent that with Siri, and so that's the voice to text. So I don't know if he meant cut off on a play at the plate.
Off. He meant cut off, yeah. He was trying to force a cutoff. Yeah.
Well,
I don't buy it.
I mean, his reputation precedes him at this point, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I cannot even give him an ounce of understanding.
Sure. Or a benefit of the doubt. He's lost
that. By the way, I was thinking, you know, when I saw Chris this morning, mm-hmm. we were just talking about he's still so hardcore on the Yankees keeping Juan Soto. I'm like, they're not going to pay him more money than Aaron Judge. How can you pay him more money than Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I don't think that would happen. Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to pay him $500 million and have Gerrit Cole, Aaron Judge, and Giancarlo Stanton on the roster.
Yeah, it feels like a one-year rental, doesn't it?
That's
trying to go win a World Series and then say goodbye.
And this is why they're all in.
Yep.
That's why they're all in right now. They're trying to win it right now because they know there's a very good chance that he's not going to be here. He may love playing for the Yankees. He may love the Yankee fan. He may love the aura, but it's going to be up to him to, you know, try to set new records, much like all these quarterbacks in the NFL are.
Oh, yeah, and he's got
financially.
Well, I mean, he's turned down hundreds of millions of dollars multiple times from different organizations.
And you're going to tell me now he's going to take less money to stay with the Yankees?
No way.
Glorious Yankees. And
Got Scott Boras as the agent. He will take, I mean, if the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia offers him the most amount of money, he'll go there.
He'll go there.
And just do whatever.
I mean, didn't they start? I think they started a baseball league in Saudi Arabia.
Did they?
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah, they could be looming.
For Juan Soto?
Yeah.
That'd be something, huh? Juan Soto signs with PIF? Live baseball?
Yeah, why not?
Wow. Why not? That would have been, man. Once that starts happening to some of these other sports, if it does, then I mean, everything changes.
Well, first of all, though, the interesting thing in regards to all of that, unlike the PGA Tour, there are owners that, you know, would have to sit and say, yes, this is the type of ownership we want in our league. They could refute the ownership. They could turn down the ownership. Because I would think that if they could buy a team in some way, shape, or form, they would have already done it, and they would have overpaid enormously, which would have risen the amount that all the other teams in that league would be worth.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
See what you're saying.
But again, I don't necessarily know that that any NFL owner is going to want to have some sort of like PIF guy on a team.
Right.
They just start spending money like crazy. Like,
right.
Actually, the NFL is spending money like crazy.
Sure.
Right now.
They are. All right. Boomer and Gio with Boomer back this morning on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry also back. We'll get an update in just a couple of minutes.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Dan, can I bring something up real quickly here? And I am truly, truly worried about an individual that we all like.
Okay.
Somebody who I spent a lot of time with, talking with, walking with.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going.
Frank the
Tank. Right, yeah.
I think we need to have, and I'm serious, we need to have a wellness check. I hope the guys over there at Barstool are paying attention.
Do you want me to start with that?
Why? You have it. I didn't know you had it.
Of course, of course.
I'm sorry. All right. So, but I, you know, watching this, I think
it's alarming.
We have to have a wellness check.
And we know him, and we know him when he's not freaking out. And he was great with you. He's great at Boomer and Geo Live. Like, he's a guy that we like, but when he loses it, man, he loses it.
All right, Jerry. So I don't know what you have, I think a wellness check is in order.
We're brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. So to set this up, I've got to take you back to Friday night, and somewhere in the 8 o'clock hour, Sal did tweet that the NL wild card race is over. Ha, ha, ha.
And for people who don't know, and I believe most listeners do, Sal, back in 2022, said the NL East is over.
In May.
And, of course, the Mets ended up choking away the division. And it got so big that the Braves themselves referenced it after they won the division.
Some of them tweeted him from the locker room during the celebration.
So he will never learn.
Well,
he'll never learn.
Right.
So this is in the 8 o'clock hour, Friday night.
Friday, during the game, this is Senga's game that he's
they're
pitching.
Killing the Braves.
Senga looks great.
They just came off the sweep of the Yankees. Things couldn't be going better. And then this happens.
And he popped it up on the infield. Lonzo calling for it. And he's got it. But Senga is hurt.
No, it
might
looks
be a like
calf.
He's grabbing his calf.
Oh.
As he went after that ball coming down off the mound.
All right, so his night was over at that point, but the Mets go on. They win. He was great until he got hurt. The Mets then proceed to get shut out on Saturday. Then on Sunday, look lifeless for offensively, for aside from putting guys on base, they couldn't score a run, and you also found out that Senga's done for the season. So, Frank the Tank, I cleaned this up as best I could.
There's no way. This is why I think a welfare check is needed.
Had a message for Sal, specifically.
Sal, I'm proud of you, you mother, you did it again,
So he blinked him again to where he would finish this way.
Stop the Mets, you goddamn mother right. The Mets in the season over. It's over. Ryan Stanek, you stop giving up goddamn mother.
See, you're a moron. Get lost, you moron.
Oh my god.
It's unbelievable. That's why. I don't know if we can reach out. Do you have his producer's number?
I do, yeah.
Maybe you could just reach out and just make sure that he's okay and he's solid.
Sure. I could do that.
I worry because, you know, I got to like him. I got to know him.
My favorite part was this.
I'll tell you one thing. He's better than Stugatz.
It's different, you dope!
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you've got that.
I mean, I If we reach out to Frank, though, is that going to piss off Sal? Because...
Well, I just... No, I don't
know. Now I have to be conscious of everybody's feelings around here after Brandon was very upset that Stu Gotz was in here. I got to make sure everybody's... Well, I mean, Brandon was defending the radio station, and how could Stu Gotz come in here and say he wants everybody's job, and they got mad at me for allowing that to happen. So now I've got to be conscious of everybody's feelings around here.
I have to ask a question.
So, wait, you triggered one of our work employees'
apparently.
Colleagues.
Apparently, yeah, I guess.
Did you get a call from HR?
Not yet.
Not yet.
They might have left me a voicemail over the weekend.
How do you do?
Is it true that Stu Gotz did not watch Mets-Yankees?
Yeah, he didn't watch any of it. Yeah.
And he wants a job here in New York.
He didn't watch anything. No, I mean, I'm telling you, he didn't watch Hard Knocks. He didn't watch a single
game.
Not
even that on Tuesday
night? He didn't watch a thing. He hadn't seen an episode of Hard Knocks walking in here, and Joe Shane's one of his good friends. So, I mean, I would open the show, and then I would bring these things up, and he would just have the same... Listen, I said this to him while he was sitting next to me, so I don't feel like I'm trashing him behind his back. But, I would just bring up all these points from the game, and he would just refute it with, well, baseball is a funny sport. You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
Where am I supposed to go with this? Like, I can't. Like, if you're just going to say that for every baseball point that I have, we can't go anywhere with this.
But you invited him in here.
I did not this time.
Oh, you didn't?
This was not my idea this time.
Oh, this was not your idea?
No.
Whose idea was this time?
So the first time he came in for those two shows, he always wanted to host here. I never knew it was going to turn into this. He always wanted to host here. So we said we could do a show one time in the summer. So then it was supposed to happen during COVID. His mom passed away. And then like a couple years later, a day opened up and he did 2 days last year and it was fine. And then the whole program director thing happened and it blew up. And I was thinking, well, we're never going to see him again. Right.
Right.
I was asked by somebody here, would you work with him again?
No. So there's no way in the world Ryan Hurley asked you that. There's no way in the world it's him.
So I...
There's no way in the world. It can't be.
So I said, sure. You know, whatever. I'll work with him again. I mean, it'll be interesting. We can talk about all the
Mets
the
and
stuff.
Yankees.
Yeah, right. We can try to talk about the Mets and the Yankees.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Wow. And Joe Shane's your good friend. This ought to be great. I'm sure you're really enjoying it.
Yeah, no, didn't see one episode. Mm. Yeah.
He did not see one episode.
No, not at all.
What exactly did he talk about?
How he wanted Evan's job. That's basically it. That and getting high and you not being able to get into the building. There was a lot of that. Yeah. How WFAN didn't have any water for him or a greeting committee and all of that stuff.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. He'd fit in perfectly around here. So the architect asked you to do this then.
I mean, you can deduce whatever you want to deduce, but
that's what I deduced.
Yeah. But this was not, so when you say I invited him in, I want to make it clear that this time was this was not my doing at all. But I did, I mean, I could have vetoed it and did not, but.
So does he watch Dolphin games? Does he watch Marlin games? Does he watch Heat games? Panther games? Did he go to any Panther playoff games?
I don't think so. I don't know. I didn't ask about any of that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, baseball's a funny sport.
Yeah, it is a funny sport.
Could you imagine going down to Miami and doing like Monday and Tuesday during the football season and you didn't watch Dolphins Bills on Sunday
That's
night
what
football?
You should do. You should go down and co-host with him on his show. Just take a trip down to Miami and just do exactly what he did to you.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Hey, football's a funny sport.
I mean, he would come in here, he would open up the box score and he would just look at it. And then he would not admit. I mean, he admitted that he didn't like watch anything, and he's like that he just had been looking at box scores and making stuff up for his entire career. That's just what he does. I mean,
okay,
he's the weirdest. Like on some level you respect it, but on the other level you hate it, which is the weird thing about him. He's like a Rubik's cube. Like you hate him, but then you respect it, and it's funny. But then you hate his guts, and then you like him, and then it's almost like you know when you eat too much of a certain candy or something. You're like, oh, all right, that's too much of this now.
And then you go grab another bite of it.
Right, yes. It's like that's sort of what it's like. Like this is making me sick, but somehow I'm going back for more. I don't understand why.
But you know, so Brandon took it personally.
Yeah, Brandon hates his guts. Yeah. Flat out hates his guts.
Wow.
Yeah, and came in here and with his hood up and
the intensity, man.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was intense, man.
Did you feel uncomfortable?
No, it was like Friday at like 9:55, and I'm totally relaxed. I was laughing.
You were in weekend mode.
me and Al were cracking up just watching Brandon come in here so serious. Like, and just with the hood up and everything.
Kiss my ass.
I love Brandon, but I was here, look, Brian, get that hood down. I mean, I can't take you seriously with half the hood up. I was like, what are you doing?
It is go time.
Yeah, baby.
It was great. It was fun. All right. What the hell
else? Anyway, so we need a wellness check on Frank the Tank.
Right.
Yeah. We may need a wellness check on Sal Licata, too, as well.
Well, you'll see Sal here in a couple hours.
All right.
I'm sure he's fine, even though he's trending on Twitter.
He is trending again. Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of guy that wants to trend on Twitter.
Sure. I think so. By the way, the AC is not working in here today.
No, and this is the one day I put the sweatshirt on because it's always freezing in here when you turn it all the way down.
Yeah. I know. I'm hot. I'm sweating.
Does this have something to do with the connectivity of the two buildings that we have? Have you read the signs as you're walking through that other building? And then
almost there.
I'm gonna have to do do an Instagram thing walking through there.
Yeah, I don't go through there though. I go through the other way.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
for
I
you.
Go through the back and the loading dock. That's my thing.
Nice.
I know everybody at that loading dock now. There's a security guy in a box in there. Hey, what's going on?
The best is smell the flowers, and there's no flowers.
There's just glass tubes. Flowers are on the roof there, Brian.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
It cracks me up. Smell the flowers. I'm like, there are no flowers.
The problem is we've been here since, you know, what, 08 or 09, right?
I don't know. 10?
It was late 09.
So we've been here since 09, and, you know, the building was nice. It was a nice breath of fresh air for us leaving Kaufman Studios, which we were in the basement of.
Sure was.
And it was very damp and musty down there.
By the way, the sub-basement. It wasn't even the basement. It was a sub-basement. You walked upstairs to get to the basement.
So now we have gone through all of the renovation stuff around here. The front of this building, the middle of this building, connecting to the new building behind us. And there's anything but smelling the flowers. There's a lot of...
But there will be.
There will be. Eventually, if we're still here.
Yes. That's true. The scaffolding's been up for quite a long time as well.
Yes. It has been.
Right?
Yes. I feel like it's been up for at least a good year.
Oh, longer than that.
Longer than that? Okay.
Yeah.
The scaffolding in New York City is just...
What a business.
God.
What a business.
That and producing orange cones for construction, apparently.
Oh, yes. God. And barrels.
Yeah, let's get in on that. Can I, like, invest in scaffolding? Because I'm about to.
I'm sure there's some public company.
God.
There has to be.
All right, what else, Jerry?
Go to metalsupermarkets.com.
Okay.
That's a new sponsor around here. I had that today, and I didn't even know it existed, but there's Metal Supermarkets.
Okay. I love metal. Love scrap metal.
I know you love scrap metal because you do the reads for scrap metal.
I love scrap metal.
I'm just telling you, the Metal Supermarkets.
Is it like a supermarket, or is it for metals?
It's a supermarket for metals.
What?
I'm not kidding you.
Can I sell aluminum there?
So Fleegs and I were doing the sports minutes this morning. It was the first time that I had seen it.
Okay.
And so I checked it out, and I was like, yeah, it's a real supermarket for metals. I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
For, like, tradesmen and things like that? Like, and contractors?
Sure, you can go in there. You're not a tradesman.
I have no reason to buy metals.
You never know what you need metal for.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a metal supermarket.
Huh. It's legit.
Okay.
I will copper, check aluminum, steel, stainless steel.
Cool.
What else they got?
Mild steel.
Alloyed steel.
What's the difference between the two?
Shop by shape is a big part of it.
Shop by shape.
Yes. Shop by shape.
Oh, man. All right. The little time we have here. The Braves did beat the Mets yesterday 9-2. Mets Twins tonight. Jose Quintana to start at 7:10. As for the Yankees, Sunday night baseball in Boston.
And the pitch hit in the air, deep right field. Moving back is O'Neill near the warning track, and it bounces onto the track and into the Red Sox bullpen. It's going to be a grounds rule double. Torres will score from third. Rice comes in to follow. On at second with a grounds rule double. And two RBIs is Oswaldo Cabrera.
And if you didn't think the game was over at that point, it was with that two-run double, as it turned out. Put them up 7-2. Yankees beat the Red Sox 8-2. And a good start for Carlos Rodon. Another one. 6 1/3.
About time.
Win number 11.
I got an idea. Just hit me right now. Why not, after Carton works with Susan Waldman in August,
mm-hmm.
bring Stugatz back and throw him in there with Waldman, Susan Waldman, and let him do a weekend series.
Oh, well, we actually played some of his play-by-play when he called a Marlins game, and he was actually trying hard that time, and it was horrible. I mean, like,
he called a Marlins game?
He did, with Levitard and David Sampson, who was the president at the time. I don't know, Fleegs, you know what, Al, I think Al had it in his email, but it was like, you'd hear the crack of the bat and, like, stuff going on, and he was just telling stories. And they're like, Stugatz, you gotta tell us what's, we're on the radio,
so
man.
So it was on radio.
Yeah,
so
we're on the radio.
He was not painting the picture.
Right. And he goes, he said something like, swing and miss, and then Levitard was like, misses. It's misses. Swings and misses.
Mm. Well, that's their shtick, right?
Yeah, but he was so bad. So bad.
That's why I say put him in there with Susan for a game.
Why not? Jeez.
Yankees went 8-2. Their newest player, Jazz Chisholm Jr., went 1-for-5, a stolen base, and a run scored.
A stolen base?
And, yeah, stole third, I believe. Yes. Fired up to be with the Yankees. I think I heard you talking about this before.
No, it was super exciting. I mean, every kid dreams of being a Yankee. You know, it's the most famous team in baseball that Derek Jeter played on, you know what I mean? So everybody's favorite player was Derek Jeter growing up. I had him as an owner, so I just feel like it was only right to come on and put on the uniform.
He played center field last night. He will play some third base for them as well. And we do have our first, maybe you had this on Friday, our first issue in terms of the name with Marco Belletti.
The idea that Chaz Chisholm is going to be...
Here we go.
I mean, so it is first. Amazing how this trips people up so much.
Yeah.
The idea that Chaz Chisholm is going to be...
All right. Chaz Chisholm.
So he's first.
He's first.
All right.
I mean, so now that is
happened
Keith
quick.
Hernandez. Keith Hernandez, John Sterling, Marco Belletti, Brad Heller, Ed Coleman.
Chaz Chisholm.
Chisholm scores.
I mean, it's amazing how this trips everybody up.
You have to slow down. If you don't slow down, it's very easy to say it the wrong way.
Because
you said it perfectly last week as to why.
Because Jism is on the forefront of our brains, is that why?
And Chaz is more of a first name than Jazz is.
Yeah, right. And then you flip the... But why don't people say Chaz Chisholm?
I don't know. Because what you said, we're dummies.
I guess. I mean, are we that sick in the head that, like...
Yes. Well, there's a lot of us. So, who was the first Yankee announcer to do that? Who do you think that's going to be?
Sterling's already done it. I mean,
Emmanuel.
Could Michael Kay do it? Emmanuel? You think Emmanuel?
Gone. Goodbye for Chisholm.
Chisholm squirts one into left.
Oh, come on. Oh, that would be priceless. You could get him to do it, too. That's the thing.
I don't know, man. He's fighting for a job. I don't think he's going to do any Chisholm jokes.
Come on.
On the air, you know?
Frank Horton.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, imagine. He just goes on like a Chisholm tirade sitting next to Susan.
No.
Listen, Chaz Chisholm.
I am telling you.
Chaz Chisholm.
I'm saying Craig's going to be the first one to say it as a Yankee announcer.
Oh, my God.
On purpose? On purpose or
no,
by mistake?
No, I think it will be by mistake, but I think, because, you know, he likes to talk so fast.
Yeah. That's how it happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, so that would be on his resume as the Yankee announcer.
Although John Sterling took his time and still got it wrong.
Yeah, Chisholm.
Team USA beat Serbia 110-84. You had
Kevin... Jason Tatum not play?
We'll get to that. I have Steve Kerr talking about that, which we'll do next hour.
That's unbelievable.
U.S. women's team plays Japan today. U.S. soccer team beat Germany 4-1. I'll get to some football coming up next hour as well, because you got another contract. Tua got paid. So some sound from Miami coming up also.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Chisholm, and I don't know who that is.
Huh. You do now, as he is a New York Yankee. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I did not watch live the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Paris, but I did the next morning wake up to many videos of
things that were absolutely unbelievable. And in no exaggeration, unbelievable. I mean, when they took that, like, stainless steel food cover.
The dome food cover.
Yeah, your microphone. Whatever
the
that.
Dome food cover.
There's a word for this that has been driving me.
It's a French word.
It's like cloiture or something, whatever. When they took that off and there was a...
It's a cloche. A C-L-O-C-H-E.
Okay. Cloche?
I'm assuming that's how you say it.
So so when they take that off and there is essentially a naked man painted blue surrounded by vegetables in front of what appears to be a mostly drag queen Last Supper with an obese woman playing Jesus. I said, what?
Wasn't her Last Supper, that's for sure.
What? And then they had the Marie Antoinette severed head thing. Yeah. And then they had, I'm telling you, I know people were offended. I get they're offended. I could not stop laughing at how ridiculous that was. That they actually thought that this was a good representation of their country to showcase to the world that this is what they came up with. It was repulsive.
Well, yeah. And then President Emmanuel Macron puts out a tweet at this. This is happening. This is France.
Yeah, great.
No wonder why they always get invaded. Anyway, the interesting thing about this is not... Here, obviously, it is intensified because of the political things that are going on in this country at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody wants to talk about different aspects of society and things of that nature. But I don't want to blame NBC for this because it's not NBC's fault that they're showing this. Because what you have to understand is that NBC is basically taking it from the Paris Organizing Committee that produces the world feed. So every network in every other large country, you know, is taking the same feed that is being given.
Sure.
And they have to show it because this is part of broadcasting the Olympics. Like in the French producer who produced this, you know, I don't know whether he was trying or they were trying to make him a statement of some sort, but they pissed off a lot of Christians, that's for sure. Whether you believe that it was on purpose or not, it's in the eye of the beholder, as they always say. But it's not NBC's fault. They're just they're basically taking.
I never thought that it was. I never thought that it was NBC's fault. I mean, wasn't there an exposed testicle as well?
Yeah. So I was asking you this morning, what's worse, Janet Jackson nipple or the exposed testicle?
I think both are not good. But the fact that the nipple was. People freaked out in the way that they did over that nipple was crazy to me.
I will say this, that
I'd have to say testicle probably a little worse.
I will say that I would imagine that the SEC would look at it a little bit differently in terms of what's allowed on air and what's not allowed on air. The reason I say that is because when the Super Bowl is being telecast, it is run by the network. So when we had Super Bowl 58 last year at CBS, CBS knows exactly what is going on at halftime because the last time, CBS got in trouble for Nipplegate with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
Yeah, I remember.
So ever since that particular faux pas, everybody has been very sensitive about what is being shown at halftime. Now,
naturally,
there are still messages being sent. There's no question about that, as we have seen over the years. But the network here controls that. NBC, in this case, does not control that. They are just taking the world feed that everybody else is getting at the same time.
Hey, Fleeks, can you just find some decent audio? You could probably find it pretty quickly of that blue guy singing. Just like, if we put like ceremony.
That blue guy?
The blue guy. No, because that was definitely a guy. The other one was the bearded... I guess it was, I don't know if it was a man.
That was a transgender bearded
person. Okay, I'm talking about the blue man under the cloiche. I'm talking about him. That.
Like the genie.
I could not get enough of this. I went and I showed everybody I could. I said, did you see this last night? I mean, like when they're sitting around and talking about this. I mean, who in the hell comes up with this idea?
Well, I mean, the guy.
Let's get Francois, paint him blue, stick some vegetables around him, and have him sing a song.
Right.
In front of a Last Supper drag show.
And have children in the midst, dispersed in the midst of it all.
Oh, my God.
This is France.
This is France, all right.
That's about culture, humor. You know, it's about history. You know, it's about all the things that the French wanted to display for the entire world to see.
Oh, I'm just looking at him again. I mean, what? No, you can't. The audio's terrible stuff. It's not even worth it. But I mean, if we could find a better one, maybe we can. I know that they started ripping some of it down off of social media because of like rights and stuff and whatever controversy.
They just don't want people to be, you know, forwarding it around the world because they're embarrassed by it. And they actually did apologize in some weird way, but believe me, the moment that it was happening and in real time on X as people were posting,
yeah,
it was out of control. And by the way, NBC's ratings so far are really good.
Yeah.
The opening night ratings were great according to NBC and their people, but, you know, and I think most of the people are into the Olympics. I know I am.
Yeah.
I mean, like that, but it's unfortunate that that had to overshadow the great idea of bringing the teams down the river.
Yeah, there was one great shot of the U.S. and all the athletes on the boat and the flag. That was really cool.
The other thing that was really cool was Beyonce in that USA bathing suit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gotta love that.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Jazz Chisholm, and I don't know who that is.
You do now, as he is a New York Yankee. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I did not watch live the opening ceremony of the Olympics in Paris, but I did the next morning wake up to many videos of things that were absolutely unbelievable, and in no exaggeration, unbelievable. I mean, when they took that, like, stainless steel food cover.
The dome food cover.
Your microphone. Whatever
the
that.
Dome food cover.
There's a word for this that has been driving me.
It's a French word
It's like cloche or something, whatever. When they took that off and there was a...
It's a cloche. A C-L-O-C-H-E.
Okay. Cloche?
I'm assuming that's how you say it.
So when they take that off and there is essentially a naked man painted blue surrounded by vegetables in front of what appears to be a mostly drag queen Last Supper with an obese woman playing Jesus. I said, what?
Wasn't her Last Supper, that's for sure.
What? And then they had the Marie Antoinette severed head thing. Yeah. And then they had, I'm telling you, I know people were offended. I get they're offended. I could not stop laughing at how ridiculous that was, that they actually thought that this was a good representation of their country to showcase to the world that this is what they came up with. It was repulsive.
Well, yeah. And then President Emmanuel Macron puts out a tweet at this. This is happening. This is France.
Yeah, great.
No wonder why they always get invaded. Anyway, you know, the interesting thing about this is not... Here, obviously, it is intensified because of the political things that are going on in this country at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody wants to talk about different aspects of society and things of that nature. But I don't want to blame NBC for this, because it's not NBC's fault that they're showing this. Because what you have to understand is that NBC is basically taking it from the Paris Organizing Committee that produces the world feed. So every network in every other large country, you know, is taking the same feed that is being given.
Sure.
And they have to show it, because this is part of broadcasting the Olympics. Like, in the French producer who produced this, you know, I don't know whether he was trying or they were trying to make him a statement of some sort, but they pissed off a lot of Christians, that's for sure,
whether you believe that it was on purpose or not, it's in the eye of the beholder, as they always say. But it's not NBC's fault. They're just they're basically taking.
I never thought that it was. I never thought that it was NBC's fault. I mean, wasn't there an exposed testicle as well?
Yeah. So I was asking you this morning, what's worse, the Janet Jackson nipple or the exposed testicle?
You know, I think both are not good. But the fact that the nipple was, people freaked out in the way that they did over that nipple was crazy to me. So I would say,
I will say this, that
I'd have to say testicle probably a little worse.
I will say that I would imagine that the SEC would look at it a little bit differently in terms of what's allowed on air and what's not allowed on air. The reason I say that is because when the Super Bowl is being telecast, it is run by the network. So when we had Super Bowl 58 last year at CBS, CBS knows exactly what is going on at halftime because the last time, CBS got in trouble for Nipplegate with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
Yeah, I remember.
So ever since that particular faux pas, everybody has been very sensitive about what is being shown at halftime. Now, naturally, there are still messages being sent. There's no question about that, as we have seen over the years. But the network here controls that. NBC, in this case, does not control that. They are just taking the world feed that everybody else is getting at the same time.
Hey, Fleeks, can you just find some decent audio? You could probably find it pretty quickly of that blue guy singing. Just like if we put like ceremony. The blue guy. Not the because that was definitely a guy. The other one was the bearded. I guess it was. I don't know if it was a man.
That was a transgender bearded
person. Okay, I'm talking about the blue man under the cloich. I'm talking about him. That
like the genie.
Could not get enough of this. I went and I showed everybody I could. I said, "Did you see this last night?" I mean, like when they're sitting around and talking about this. I mean, who in the hell comes up with this idea?
Well, I mean, the guy.
Let's get Francois. Paint them blue, stick some vegetables around them, and have them sing a song.
Right.
In front of a Last Supper drag show.
And have children in the midst, dispersed in the midst of it all.
Oh, my God.
This is France.
This is France, all right.
That's about culture, humor. You know, it's about history. You know, it's about all the things that the French wanted to display for the entire world to see.
Oh, I'm just looking at him again. I mean, what? No, you can't. The audio's terrible. Stop. It's not even worth it. But I mean, if we could find a better one, maybe we can. I know that they started ripping some of it down off of social media because of like rights and stuff and whatever the controversy.
They just don't want people to be, you know, forwarding it around the world because they're embarrassed by it. And they actually did apologize in some weird way, but believe me, the moment that it was happening and in real time on X as people were posting, it was out of control. And by the way, NBC's ratings so far are really good.
Yeah.
The opening night ratings were great according to NBC and their people, but you know, and I think most of the people are into the Olympics. I know I am.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate that had to overshadow the great idea of bringing the teams down the river.
Yeah, there was one great shot of the U.S. and all the athletes on the boat and the flag. That was really cool.
The other thing that was really cool was Beyonce in that USA bathing suit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gotta love that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.